Okay, tonight is March the 31st, our 25th day of Adar Bet. This is the Gemara Shir. We're learning Maseches Sukkah, Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. Last week, we did the Sukkah of Mitzta'er Potter Min HaSukkah. And I just wanted to share with you a most important machloikis between the Ramah and it's only maybe as far as I know, only the Kolbo agrees with the Ramah. Virtually all other Rishonim disagree with the Ramah, and then to see how the what the machlokes is all about. Our Gemara made a statement and said that mitzta'er is pater min asukah hu velo misham shav. That somebody who finds it too cold, too many flies, whatever it is exempt from sukkah, but anybody attending to such a person is obligated to eat in the sukkah. So if you look at the mechaber, which I distributed to you in Simin Tov Resh Mem Seif Dalad, the Mechaber writes, Mitzta'er Patur Min HaSukkah Hu Velo Misham Shav. The Mechaber just quotes the Gemara nearly verbatim, that somebody who is in agony as a result of the fact that he's sitting in the Sukkah is exempt from Sukkah, he, but not the attendant, as opposed to the Chola, who is exempt. Not only is the Chole exempt, but Misham Shei HaCholim as well. The Mechaber does not make any distinctions between the rest of Yom Tov and the first night. The Mechaber adopts the position espoused by virtually all other Rishonim, either by their silence or by explicit statement. There is a Tshuva of the Rashba that black on white says that there is no difference between the exemption based of Teshvu Ke'en Taduru, day number 5, versus the first night of Sukkot. You are always exempt, makes no difference whatsoever. The Rambam does not distinguish between the two. And therefore it appears that the Rambam would agree that there is no difference, and that's the way the Mechaber codes the halacha. However, as you see in the parentheses, Avo Balaila Rishoina Afilo Mitzta'er Chayiv Le'echol Sham Kizayitz. However, the Ramah says that no, on the first night, even somebody who is in agony is nonetheless obligated to eat at least a kizayitz in the sukkah. That's what the Ramah says. A similar machloikis is found in Simin Tov Resh Lamed Tes on the second sheet, and it is there that the Mishnah Berurah elaborates. And in the Simon that I just showed, he just says, "Look what I just said in the previous Simon. Here the case is if it's raining." Okay, so the Mechaber writes. It starts on the previous page. The Mechaber writes that if it's raining, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. And now in line 3 of the Ramah, he writes, V'chol ze dafka b'shar yomim, o leilo shel sukkahs. That when, if it is raining, you're not obligated to eat in the sukkah, that only applies for any of the nights and the rest of the days of the sukkah. Of a Laila Harishona, but the first night of Sukkot, Sorich Le'echol Kizayis Basukka Af in Yisham Yim Yordim. Even if it's raining, you must eat a Kizayis in the Sukkah the first night. Fine. So now, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, Se'if Lamed Hay. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, despite the fact that he is annoyed and uncomfortable as a result of the rain, The chol mitzta'er patam in a sukkah. And any time you are mitzta'er, you are exempt from sukkah. Svira leila rahama, kedas ha'paiskim, de sovrin, de belaila rishayna, af mitzta'er chayiv. The Rama is of the opinion with the minority of Rishonim who claim that on the first night you are obligated even though you are mitzta'ir. Why? V'ta'amam, the cave on the gamrinan chamisha asa mechagamatzos legamre gamrinan. Since we compare the status of the night of the 15th of Nisan to the status of the night of the 15th of Tishrei, we compare it completely, namely, that just as in relationship to the Yontif of Pesach, the Torah tells us, Shivat Yomim Matzos Tocheilu, you should eat matzah for 7 days. Nonetheless, the Chiyuv is only the first night. Only the first night. Based on the fact that one time in the Torah it says, Sheshes Yomim Tochal Matzos. You're only supposed to eat matzahs for 7 days. So the Gemara darshins, 6 days it's reshus, 1 day it is chova. When is the 1 day chova? For erev tochlu matzos, only on the night. So this is learnt out on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Based on the hekesh of Tesvav, we now compare the same state to Sukkot as well. That there is, you don't have to eat in the Sukkah all 6 days of Sukkot, just as you don't have to eat any matzah the rest of Pesach, just can't eat any chametz. So too you can't eat out of the Sukkah, but you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. However, the first night, there is an obligation. So the Mishnah Berurah says that the Hekesh is a complete one. Just as in relationship to Pesach, there are no exceptions to the rule, there are no exceptions. No one ever heard that mitzta'er is patam in a matzah. No one ever said that. You don't like it? Too bad. You have to eat a kezayis a matzah. So too, the first night of Pesach, you must eat a kezayis in the sukkah no matter what. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So I want to explain what is the machloikis between the Ramah and everybody else, how to interpret this hekesh. All other Rishonim also understand that there is a hekesh. So how come they didn't agree to it, the Rashba, the Rambam, and almost every other Rishon? Why did they come to the same conclusion that the Rambam does? Because the debate centers as to how to interpret the hekesh between Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot. In relationship to Sukkot, Rabbi Yari, there is no mitzvah to eat in the Sukkot. The mitzvah is to dwell in the sukkah. One of the manifestations of dwelling in the sukkah is to eat. But it's not the exclusive activity. So when you read the pasuk Basukos Teishu Shivat Yomim, it doesn't really say there's a mitzvah achilah. It says you're supposed to dwell. Dwelling includes sleeping, eating, hiking, everything you want to do, learning, everything should be done in the sukkah. Whenever the mitzvah is based on the mitzvah of yeshiva, we now define or limit that mitzvah yeshiva based on the drash, teishvu ke'en tadu. That your mitzvah of yeshiva is guided by what you would be doing in your own house. So just as if you were in your house, if you were attacked by bees, you go to a different room. Just as if in your house it sprung a leak, a window broke, and it was windy, you'd want to leave the room, so too you're entitled to leave the sukkah. That's the definition for the rest of Yontif. Pesach at night, excuse me, first night of Sukkot, due to the Hekesh teaches us that there is a mitzvah achila in the sukkah. There's a mitzvah achila in the sukkah. Okay? Is there any such drash that you ever heard of? Tochal ke'en taduru? There is no such answer. No such drash. There is a separate mitzvah achila. Where did they learn out that there was a separate mitzvah achila? From the mitzvah achila's matzah. Where there is a mitzvah achila. So we compare completely. the mitzvah achila leil Pesach to the mitzvah achila leil Sukkot. Therefore, says the Rambam very well, that just as in relationship to Pesach, the definition of the mitzvah achilas matzah is not limited by any external excuse, so too the mitzvah of achila in the sukkah,
first night of Sukkot,
has no parameters, no definitions that should grant you an exemption. Because it's not the mitzvah of basukkah teishu shivat yamim that demands that you get into the sukkah the first night. It's the hekesh to the mitzvah of matzah. And what is the definition of the mitzvah of matzah? Mitzvah achilah. So the Chachamim believe that there is a mitzvah mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, sukkahs at night. Therefore, point number two, if you normally are guided by yeshiva, the mitzvah to dwell in the sukkah, how does that manifest itself by how much you're allowed to eat out of the sukkah on the fifth day of Sukkot? How much are you allowed to eat out of the sukkah? Because that's not called a violation of yeshiva. Because I need a snack out of the sukkah. How much are you allowed to eat? Up to how much? Up to how much? Kveta. Right. You're allowed to eat up to kveta, which is almost 2 days tomorrow. Here, since the definition is not a mitzvah yeshiva, but the mitzvah is a mitzvah of what? Achila. What's the normal shear of achila? Ein achila, pachas mikzaris. Therefore, how much must you eat in the sukkah the first night? You have to eat just the kazaris. Just the kazaris. Because it's not a mitzvah of yeshiva. The mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah demands during the rest of the week, if you wanted to fulfill the, how much must you eat in order to be chayiv in sukkah the rest of the week? Kabetzah. If you eat less than a kabetzah, that's not called yeshiva kutzah. That's a snack. You wouldn't be eating that necessarily in your house either. But here, you have to only eat a kazayis. That's the emphasis. Why? Because the definition is a mitzvah. That's how the Ramah and the Kobo, from where the Ramah gets it from, holds. All other Rishonim do not believe that they were mechadesh, that there is a separate mitzvah achila sukkahs at night. No. All they said was, take the chiyu, just the word chiyu, Pesach at night, and now transport the word chiyu to what? To the first night of Sukkot. But the word chiyu is applied individually based on what Yom Tov deals. What is the definition of the mitzvah of matzah? It's called achilas matzah, ba'eret tofu matzah. So now the chiyu Pesach at night is to eat the kizayit for matzah. Now we transport chiyuv to the 15th of Tishrei. Chiyuv of what? What chiyuv is there? The mitzvah of basukas teishu shivat yom. So even on the first night, what was the mandate of the Chachamim, the first night of Sukkot, according to the Rambam, the Rashba, and the Mechaber? What is the mandate? To dwell in the sukkah. To dwell in the sukkah for the first night of Sukkot. That as opposed to the rest of Sukkot, it's up to you. If you want to dwell, dwell in the sukkah. If you don't want to dwell, don't dwell in the sukkah. That's up to you. The first night you have to dwell. But the address of the mitzvah is Basukos Teishu Shivas Yamin. The definition, the mitzvah of Basukos Teishu Shivas Yamin is always defined and limited by what drash Teishu came to do. Therefore, the Rambam, Rashba, and the Mechaber all believe that the exemption of Teishu Kein Kaduru applies the first night as well. Because Teishu Kein Kaduru applies any time the mitzvah is, the mitzvah is Yeshiva Sukkah. Therefore, they feel
that the first night of Sukkot, that's what the halacha demanded of me, to dwell in Sukkot. I must dwell in the Sukkot, it's not an option. So if I must dwell, the mitzvah is yeshiva basukkah. Yeshiva basukkah is always defined that if it's tasteful, can to do. Therefore, according to the Mechaber, mitzta'ir is tater min asukkah, all sukkahs, even the first night. The Ramah believes, not only did they carry over the hekesh, chiyuv of matzah, to chiyuv of sukkah, not just the word chiyuv, which transposed, but chiyuv achila. There was a chiyuv achila matzah, and there was a chiyuv achila the sukkah. The mitzvah of achila the sukkah is not the mitzvah of a sukkah seishah shivas yad. You must simply eat. Therefore, that mitzvah is not well-defined, circumscribed by Teshuvah Kein Tedoru. Therefore, the Ramah says, under those circumstances, you are obligated to eat the first night of Sukkah, in the Sukkah, no matter what the weather conditions happen to be. So the Machlokes really boils down to how to understand the Hekesh Tesvav Tesvav. Yes.
So according to those
according to what?
You shouldn't make a bracha according to the Chaber. You shouldn't make a bracha on the first night when it's raining.
According to the Mechaber? He writes that later on, the Mishnah Berurah. Don't make a bracha.
But even if you're going to be kosher for the Ramah, you should make a bracha.
Because, but you can say that the Chachamim said make a bracha. You'll ask, you should say not leishiv basukah, the mitzvahs. So technically you're asking, I should make a bracha al achila basukah.
No, I'm saying if there is a concern that the chiyuv on the first night
is to mitzvah to eat the sukkah, so why can't you make a bracha?
Because if the Mechaber is correct, if the other Rishonim are all correct, then you have something wrong with it.
The Mishnah Berurah writes that. Then he writes that if it's raining, you go into the sukkah, but he says, don't make a bracha, because maybe the other Mishnayim are right. Okay, yeah, Marvel notice. Yeah. Now, just one more second. Then, now, the Mishnah Berurah, as you can see, has lumped together rain and cold. Rain and cold. He writes, in the halacha of Mitzta'er, he says, just look what I wrote over there, by rain. And the first words of out of the Mishnah Berurah's mind is, you are mitzta'er rachmas hagesha. He doesn't see any difference between the two. And here, everybody knows, the Gaon said there's a very big difference between the two. The Gaon said, I am willing to go along with the Ramah when it comes to mitzta'er. I'm willing to go along with the Ramah for mitzta'er. That maybe the Ramah is correct, that there is a separate chiyuv to what? To eat in the sukkah, Pesach at night, sukkahs at night. So there is a chiyuv to eat, very nice. I'll go along with that. So all mitzta'er achai is the sukkah the first night. But if it's raining, says the Gulin, it makes no sense to go into the sukkah. Why? Because it's not a sukkah. It's not called a sukkah. A sukkah, by definition, must be at least a temporary residence, a diva sarok. Any diva that cannot afford you protection from rain is not called a diva at all. Therefore, according to the Gaon, he didn't agree with the Ramah when it came to what the rain. He agreed with the Ramah when it comes to Mitzayir, but when it comes to rain, there's a different excuse. The reason why you can't be chayyut to eat in the sukkah, because there is no such animal called a sukkah if it's rain. It's a hakar from the shame sukkah if it happens to be rain. That's why you're exempt. That's why you're totally exempt based on that. Yeah. Correct.
That comes from the concept of Pesvah by Pesach.
It's a very interesting way. I have not seen that, but it's ma'od ma'od misaber. If you want to take the hekesh legamre, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's shita is, they ain't a pesach nechalat hatzayis, therefore matzah's only nechalat hatzayis, so therefore by it exactly, maybe, could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Rav once said that his father told him, that he didn't understand the logic of waiting until Chatzos. Why? Still his father. What would be so terrible if I would eat my meal, here's Chatzos at 7 o'clock, so I start eating it first because it's pork. Okay. Now it stops raining, whether it stops or it doesn't, as soon as it comes, if it stops raining at 9 o'clock, what will I do? I'll go into the sukkah and eat a kazayis of bread. No problem. If it doesn't stop raining until 12, at 5 to 12, I'll go in and do what? Have a kazayis of bread, and that's it. Well, I have to starve myself until 12 o'clock, not make kiddush, until 12. Because the way Mishnah Brura writes it, the way our practice is, you don't make kiddush until 12 o'clock, then you make kiddush, you eat it to size, then the rest of the meal can eat inside. Says the Rav's father, what do you gain by waiting? At the time, there's what? There's no business to go in because it's pouring. You're going to have to go in. I'll go in. I'll be in the time of Mitzvah Sakhila. Exactly. First eat the meal with... taking your time, sudas yantiv, no problem whatsoever. If it stops, I'll go down gladly, make a bracha. If it doesn't stop, I'll go in at 12 o'clock and then make kiddush meat and then start eating at 1 in the morning when you can barely stay up. Okay, but but right now there's no chiyuv.
Not only according to one side, according to the other side, it's still this.
So I can still do that at 12 o'clock.
No, they can get shut the sugasa and you fall out.
Okay, maybe. Okay. So to just do it after you finish eating. Just jolt it.
Should it give you until you fall asleep?
Okay, maybe.
We'll be the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be a lot less headache for the wives if we could follow this thing. Just eat the meal regularly. We'll start making kiddush at 5 to 12 at night and then starting eating the whole meal. Yeah.
It's also the famous story, right?
That's correct. He went to sleep and father woke him up. That's correct. If it's raining, I'm exempt anyhow. If it's the gold, right? And if it's not, it's dark. Because you're waking me up in the middle of the night, I'm dying. That's what he said. Both ways I should be butter. Okay, well, the game Viter. Viter Gemara. Ochlim Achilas Aroi Chutz L'Sukkah. What? We're learning sukkah. About three quarters of the way down, the two dots. Oichlin achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. That's where we're up to. Ask the Gemara, v'kama achilas aroi, how much is a snack? Omer Rav Yosef, tarti otlas bei. Says Rashi, it means two or three spoonfuls. Two or three spoonfuls. It wasn't, in other words, he wasn't 100% sure how much it is. Two spoonfuls, three spoonfuls. Amalei Abaye, v'hozimnin sagi in sagi leila inish b'hachi. The heavily sudas keva. What do you mean, two or three spoonfuls? Sometimes a guy might feel satisfied eating. That might be a whole meal to him, eating three spoonfuls. How can you say that's sudas keva? Elam Rabaye, kidito'im be'rav, v'ayu l'kala. The definition of it would be exactly the way in the school of Rav, what did they do? Before the shear, he would take one spoonful, one bite, and a little glass of something, a drink. That's called Chassidus Aroi. Why did Rav do this before the shear? Because he was afraid that the Rebbe would go on and on and on. That's what Rashi says. Take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Kiditom bar be Rav. Baboke kishahochen lebeis medrash. Vidoeg shema yimshichu hashmuot. Vitoe mole piv fishosa. He puts one mouthful, one mouthful, and that's it. And he drinks something. That's called achidus aroi. Two or three might be already sudas kevah. Okay. So there's no real exact, at least in the first opinion, there is no exact way of understanding it. And this lack of certainty and clarity is even reflected in the way the Rambam formulates the halacha. Listen carefully, Perek Vav, halacha Vav, says the Rambam. V'asur le'echol chutz le'sukkah kol shiva. You are not permitted to eat out of the sukkah at all 7 days. Ella in Cain, ochel achilas aroi. Listen to the words now. Kibetza, o pachot, o yoter me'at. It's either a kibetza or a little less or a little more. I'm not quite sure how much it is. It's somewhere around the kibetza. A little less, a little more. So, that's how the Rambam formulated it. So it's not really 100% sure.
That's any food? Does it have to do with...
No, this is talking about grain. Where there is a chiyuv to eat in the suda, in the sukkah. So that you're allowed to eat one cracker, one little rugula out of the sukkah. Fruit you can eat, anything that doesn't require sukkah al pidin, you can eat as much as you want. This is talking about items that absolutely require sukkah. That is correct. That's correct. It's another halacha that should change in light of our difference of eating. It makes so little sense. That's what I said. Exactly. Should be opposite.
Should be required.
Today, according to tomorrow, you can get it. You can eat a steak, potatoes, and salad and be stuffed and not have to walk into the sukkah once all young. Except for the first night.
Very strange.
It's actually very... I never really understood that halacha based on the fact that why isn't there a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah, the first day of sukkahs also? Because it's yontif. You have to be kaveh asud al pas. Every yontif has one Shabbos chol hamoed. There's a halacha of lecha mishnah. How did you circumvent the halacha of lecha mishnah that you were not going to eat that in the sukkah? I can chol hamoed, okay, you can eat rice and potatoes and things like that. But I don't know why the Gemara never dealt that there is a real chiyuv to eat in the sukkah should be at least four times. The first night, first day, and then Shabbos night, Friday night, and Shabbos day. No one and technically with Shal Shun, this is five times.
Yeah, but that's not what generates chiyuv. I mean, that's, the chiyuv comes from Shabbos, from Yom Tov, it's not...
Hey, but this chiyuv is now going to be right, but you have to eat the sukkah because of that. Because it's kaveh al pas. The source is not the smith of sukkah. That's what you're saying. The source just happens to be bimikret. Correct. So it doesn't really mean, but the Gemara says you can go a whole sukkah and not eat. The Gemara doesn't really mean that. That's what I'm saying. The Gemara should have said, I don't really mean that. The Gemara doesn't say I don't mean that. The Gemara takes it pretty literally. That you can go 6 days without ever eating the sukkah. Strange. Okay.
You think you hold only one day of sukkah to work out?
The first day, and there's got to be a Shabbos Chol Hamoed.
Can the first night?
If the first day of Yom Tov is Shabbos, right. Then you don't have. That's correct. Then Hashem Rab is Friday. No, it can't be Friday. Hashanah Rabbah can be on a Friday. Yeah. Correct, yeah. Right. Hashanah Rabbah can't be on a Shabbos. Right. Yeah. Okay? Let me get invited. Now comes a very interesting sugya. Ve'ein Tana Rabbanan Ochlin Achilas Aroi Chutz L'Sukkah. You are permitted to eat a snack out of the sukkah. Ve'ein Yishenim Shenas Aroi Chutz L'Sukkah. But you are not supposed to take a drimmel, a little nap, out of the sukkah. That would mean that on Shabbos Chol Mitz, on Yom Tov, I should never give the shir in the shul. Should never give the shir in the shul, right? So, you know, now the sleepy people take a nap. Right. My timer, Amar Rav Ashi, Zera Shemo Yerodein. The concern is that if you intend to take a little 15-minute nap, you'll sleep for 2 hours. It happens to every one of us. Very nice. Omalei Abaye, Elaha Desanya, that which the Brisa writes, Yoshein Adam Shenas Aroi Bitfilin. If a person is allowed to sleep, take a nap while you're wearing tefillin. You're allowed to take a nap wearing tefillin. Avolo Shenas Keva, but you can't go to sleep for 5 hours wearing tefillin. Asks the Gemara, Lechosh Shema Yerodein. Let us be afraid that that perhaps you'll fall asleep. When you take a nap, you'll fall asleep and then you'll violate the Isur of sleeping wearing tefillin. Amar Rav Yosef Berei, the Rabbi Loi, Bimoser Shinasoi La'achelim. Well, you pointed a monitor. You told this guy, Mr., my friend, can you wake me up in 15 minutes? And because I'm wearing my tefillin, I don't want to fall asleep.
The issue is sleep with your tefillin, the issue is that when you sleep with your tefillin, something else might happen.
Ah, we're going to see. 2 seconds. That's going to be discussion amongst Rishayim. Yeah?
So then the difference with sukkahs is not a good analogy.
That's exactly, there's going to be this discussion. Shagasayeh, Aritva. Good. Maskif Le Rav Misharshia. So if Misharshia asked, that's very nice that you asked somebody to what? To be in charge of you. But Arveich, Arva Zarech, your guarantor, he also needs a guarantor. Because what happens if he goes to sleep for a couple of minutes? Who's going to wake him up? So relying on somebody else is never good. Elam Rabbarach Yoichanan, B'meniyah Roishoy Bein Birkov Askinan. B'meniyah, what you do is, you didn't sleep on a pillow, you put your head down between your knees. That's what it literally means. What?
Yeah.
This is by tefillin. Okay, so we're going to see in 2 seconds. We'll see in 2 seconds. Good. Okay, so now let's see what might be the distinctions between sukkah and tefillin. Why do we allow tefillin shenas aroi, and we do not allow sukkah shenas aroi? We do not allow. What's the difference? The Gemara asked the question. So the Gemara said, okay, you know why? He's not going to fall asleep here. Yeah, but that begs the question. Just because he's, what about a regular, not when he's yoshe, you know, not when he put his head bane ever kind. In a regular situation, will you allow him to what? To take a little snooze with tefillin? You won't. So the Gemara is saying that, now the Gemara is saying that there is, according to Abaye, there's no difference. In both cases, you're allowed to what? You're allowed to, at least, in the case of tefillin, to take a regular nap, not even a pepper, that's also awesome. What is permissible? Only leishay ben berkayim. So the Gemara initially thinks that what? That there is a fundamental difference between tefillin and sukkah, and that according to Abaye, in effect there is no difference. And we're only going to allow you to sleep with your head between your knees. Okay, we'll see that one. That's what he just said. We'll see Rashi in a second. We'll see Rashi in 1 second. 1 second. So now, so the Shaktsarya asks you a question.
No, Chef.
He says like this. In order to understand why Shenas Aroi is Asur, you have to understand why Shenas Keva is Asur. In relationship to Sukkah, you know why Shenas Keva, going to Shluch for a couple of hours, is Asur? Because it violates the Din Da Oraisa of Basukah's Teshu Shavas Yom. You're supposed to be living in the Sukkah. So, in order to protect a Din Da Oraisa, what do the Chachamim often do? They institute a protection. They don't even allow you to take a nap, even though that in theory would not be in violation of Teshu Kain to do. Because I would do that, right? Sometimes you're at the office, whether you're a little tired, you'll take a 5-minute, 10-minute nap. You're not going to sleep there for 3 hours, but you'll take a 5-minute nap. So it's not a violation of Teshu Kain to do. So therefore we allow it. But the Rabbanan would say no, because it's going to lead to what? To a permanent shluk. And that is a violation of any Sadarais. What is the only reason why you're not allowed to sleep, a permanent sleep, with film? There's no Sadarais, huh? It's an Sadarabanan of Sheva Yafiyah for him. Perhaps he'll pass gas. And at night, you can't control it. When you're sleeping, you can't control yourself. And this is a violation of Kedushas Tfil. Therefore, asks the Shagas Aryeh, I can't understand what the Gemara's kash is. I understand very well why they allowed Shena Saroi b'tfilin, and they don't allow Shena Saroi b'sukkah. They don't allow Shena Saroi b'sukkah because sleeping, regular sleep, is a violation of an Issa Doraisa. So we will make a Gzeira to protect an Issa Doraisa. But I will allow taking a nap with wearing tefillin. Why will I now allow a nap to tefillin? Why? Based on the fact that even if you fall asleep for 9 hours, you're not going to violate any Siddoraisa wearing tefillin. All you're going to violate is Nisa Darabon on a Shemi Afiyafen. That's Shagazayas Kasha. Shagazayas Kasha.
Isn't this Esachadash?
Let me get to that next question. That's the Midvah. Hold on. Just 1 second. None whatsoever. Sukkah is called Tashmishi Mitzvah. It's an article with which you perform a mitzvah. It has no endowed Kedusha to it. That's why when you're finished with it, you can throw it in the garbage can. It's like a talus. When you're finished wearing your talus, if it's ripped, it does not need burial. We paskin that Tashmishi Mitzvah on Nizrakim. But we don't like to shame it and embarrass it, so we throw it away nicely. You put it in a plastic bag. You don't put it in the garbage can itself. But it doesn't require burial. But tefillin are Tashmishi Kedusha, not Tashmishi Mitzvah, and therefore they have to be buried, and a certain Kedusha is associated with it. So that's the Shagas Aryeh's Kasha. So the Aruch Laner suggests the following answer. That, in effect, in order to explain the Gemara's question, in effect, even if you were to fall asleep, your intention was to take a little dribble, 15-minute nap. But, what? You fell asleep. What status would you now claim? This? Is this person a violator? What do you call him? He's an inus. It's beyond this. He fell asleep. He didn't intend to what? To go to sleep. He intended to sleep for 10 minutes. He wound up sleeping for an hour. So we're going to go ahead and make it zero. That what? You shouldn't do something because later on you're going to violate. If the concern happens, you're not going to violate anything. Why are you not going to violate anything? Because you were no ace at that time. It was beyond your control. You didn't deliberately do it. Apparently, he says, that the Gemara believes that this is what's called Karov Levada. That when you take intent to sleep 15 minutes, you know for a fact that what? You're not getting up. So it's not that it's a zera that one will lead to the other. We know for a fact that what? This is what's going to happen. So if we know for a fact what's going to happen, what do we not allow you to do by sukkah?
Therefore, the Gemara asks, by the same token, if you know for a fact it's going to happen, what should we not allow? Like someone as well, you shouldn't allow it to take a dribble. So it's not zero-based, it's in effect a recognition of what's going to happen. And if it's going to happen, I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen initially. If they're going to make sure it doesn't happen initially, I should take the same precaution, not only for sukkah, but for tefillin as well. Yeah.
You just said earlier that the Rambam tries to define, if I've understood that right, you know, almost as a basis. Does someone define the difference between a nap and going to sleep? I mean, because you're just saying, you know, it might be in 20 minutes, but is there, you taking 15 minutes as an example, is there some way where it's defined?
I have not seen yet where somebody said, okay, half hour is asleep, right, 20
why,
minutes. I
That's why the 5 minutes of what you said is that it's almost like it's going to lead into something. I can understand that, but it's so...
I know. I grant you that. It would be helpful to have an arbitrary definition. And then whatever definition you want to give, but that's correct. I have not seen a minute definition.
Can we have that for Nagelbosser?
What?
Can we have some arbitrary definition for
Nagelbosser? What is the arbitrary definition? 30 minutes? Could be? I don't know. Could. Now comes point number two, the Ritva's question. The Ritva asks, why is it that Shenas Aroi is Potter, is Mutter with Tefillin? By Tefillin, there's an halacha that you're not permitted to be Masiach Das from Tefillin. Not to be any Hesach Das. So if you're not permitted to have any Hesach Das, why do we allow you to take a nap? For those 10 minutes, your mind is obviously not going to be on Tefillin. So the Ritva answers something that you can disagree with, but this is what he says. The only time that we are concerned about Hesach Hadas is if you are awake and that your mind will wander about inappropriate thoughts while you're wearing tefillin. To think about machshavos which are inappropriate while you're wearing tefillin. That's the Isur of Hesach Hadas. When you're sleeping, okay, he wasn't into dreams, but when you're sleeping, your mind is not, at least actively, you didn't go to sleep thinking about what? Something which is inappropriate for tefillin. He claims that the Isur of Hesach Hadas does not apply. It only applies when your mind is consciously capable of fixing your attention on something else. Here is his proof. Proof to the point. Okay? When you learn, get involved. Hence the Ritva, how come you're allowed to wear, you learn when you wear silk? Why are you allowed to learn when you wear silk? After all, I'm going to be Masiach Das in the silk. Because what am I going to be worried about? Shanzai. I'm going to worry about the machlokes of Bayan Rabba. So I'm going to be Masiach Das and Tefillin. Says the Ritva, that's not the violation of Hesach Hadas. What is the violation of Hesach Hadas? Just thinking about machshavot, which are inappropriate when you're wearing tefillin. Is a machlokes of Bayan Rabba inappropriate for wearing tefillin? Of course not. So you see, by virtue of the fact that you're allowed to daven wearing tefillin, by virtue of the fact that you're allowed to learn while wearing tefillin, you see, claims the Ritva, that Hesach Hadas is defined about Hesach Hadas is not concentrating on tefillin. What is Hesach Hadas? Concentrating on something that you should. So when you're awake and you concentrate on something else, that's a Hesach Hadas. But when you're sleeping, you're not concentrating on anything, that's not a violation of Hesach Hadas. That's the chiddush of the Ritva. That's a very interesting definition of what constitutes Hesach Hadas. What?
Right?
That's a good point. It's a good way of saying it. Yes.
Question.
Okay, that's a very good question. How could you now?
Good. Where you require other areas where you're not allowed to have Bima Siyaf Daras, will we operate on the exact same? That's a very good question. I didn't think that through. But there are other areas where Hetzach Hadas is an issue. So let's take a thing where you need a tzibur. You're reading the Megillah, right? And you take a pause for a couple of minutes. So if you are Masiyah Das, you know, how much? You know, if it's today what? You know, if the Hetzach Hadas was long enough that you could have completed the whole Megillah reading, then it's no good. You've got to start again and again.
In a certain time,
right. Maybe you master a certain amount of time. The trigger is the time. The same thing with the Kriyas of Megillah. But maybe Korban.
Right.
The Korban. Kutchin require...
That's
a good test point to find a clear definition of we just have Parshas Parah.
Afar Hapara. That if the Kohen who is being soyrated the Parah to create, if he is Masiyah Da'at from the Parah, it passes it. There's no doubt about it. That's black and white. Okay, so but now what constitutes Hetzach Hadas from the Parah?
Anything.
Okay, but maybe if there's no Das, maybe you can sleep it. That would be the best case. Yeah, maybe those types of things.
Yes, would be a good litmus case. Good litmus case. There is a second possible answer to that. It is possible that Hetzach Hadas is only a problem when you're in the midst of being the kind of the mitzvah. If you're sleeping and you're tefillin R, you think a person gets credit for wearing tefillin if he's sleeping? What would you say? Does a person get credit for doing a mitzvah while he's asleep? What? No. Because even if you hold mitzvah srichas kavana, you don't have to have mitzvah srichas kavana, you know, throughout the entire time. You do it at the beginning of the mitzvah. What would you say? If a guy wakes up in the morning and he falls asleep 2 minutes later, somebody puts a lulav of an asterisk in his hand and he's holding it. Was he the kind of mitzvah of Hashem Lachem sleeping? What would you say? So the Rav believes that you are not the kind of mitzvah of lulav if you're sleeping. And the same thing is true, he believes, if you're sleeping, you're not the kind of mitzvah of tefillah. Hetzach Hadas is only a problem in your attempt to be the kind of the mitzvah. While you're being the kind of the mitzvah, in order to be the kind of mitzvah, you're not permitted to be Masiyah Das. But if at this moment you're not being the kind of mitzvah, so who cares? You know, your tefillah are on you. But there is no Isur of Hetzach Hadas. Why? Because you're not being the kind of mitzvah in the first place. They believe they're in the bag. Yeah.
As a general rule, if you have your tefillin on, you have them on for a fixed amount of half an hour, whatever, are you getting a mitzvah for that entire time?
Yes.
You are. For each second?
That is correct. That's why there is a mitzvah initially to wear it all day. The base of the bare bottom mitzvah, just put it on, that's correct, is to put it on, take them off, and that's it. But the mitzvah is, to the more you wear it, the 100%. If you were to put on tefillin, you know, 3 hours after, you make another bracha. Because it's up to you, my mitzvah, to wear tefillin all day.
You are being the kind of mitzvah of sukkah while sleeping in the sukkah during the entire time.
By sukkah, yes. By sukkah, you are. 100%. So that's why you cannot have shame. That's why by sukkah, excellent. That's why by sukkah they can't allow shame asaroi out of the sukkah. Why? Why can't you have a shenas arayat mitzvah? Because when you're sleeping, you're being mekayim a mitzvah. So you're supposed to be in the sukkah. What are you going to sleep outside? By all other mitzvahs, you can allow some degree of sleep because you're exempt at that minute from the sukkah. Sleeping is not an exemption time from sukkah. So you're supposed to, that's a very good point. That's very sure. What? Not quite. Not quite. You get tzchar alicha. That's correct. It would be the same as the Gemara says for the Amaharatzim who came to the Yarche Kala. There were many people that had this Yarche Kala, you know, right a week before or 2 weeks before Pesach and 2 weeks before Sukkot for Rosh Hashanah. And many Amaharatzim came and they didn't understand one word, but they came anyhow and they got tzchar alicha. So that's only for, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant you. Yeah. Okay. Now there is another machloikis between Tosis and the Rambam as to whether or not the exera of wearing, the isur of wearing tefillin is a daraita only the Rabbana. Tosis clearly says, Tosis b'divol ha-maschel avol shenas kevalo, in the last line of Tosfos, I'll go through a whole Tosfos, the last line, the next to the last line, B'sheina gufa eina ela gzera shema yafiyah. Tosfos clearly holds, like many Rishonim, that there is no Isur per se in sleeping with tefillin. The only Isur is that it might lead to some inappropriate activity that you'll pass gas. Very nice. However, the Lashon of the Rambam, Perek Dalet, Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Tesvav, seems to indicate that it might even be D'oraisa. D'oraisa. Correct. Tefillin, Tzrichin, Gufnaki, Sheyizaher, Shelotetze, Mimenu, Ruach Milmata, Kozman Shehein Alav, Lefikach, Asur Lishan Bahem, Loshinas Keva, Veloshinas Arai. However, as the Gemara will say, now, what pasuk might you associate it with? What pasuk might you associate it with? Not to sleep. If the Rambam holds the Din D'oraisa, what pasuk? It's a pasuk in Parshas Bo. V'shomarta et hachukah hazos l'mo'ada miyamim yamima. There is a big debate amongst the Farshin as to which mitzvah is the Torah actually, which chok is the Torah talking about. One of the interpretations, v'shamarta sakukah hazot, l'mo adot, miyamim imima, is it's referring to tefillin? Referring to tefillin? But, and there is a mitzvah of what? Shmiras tefillin. In fact, the Rav always said that the reason why we Ashkenazic Jews make two brachos when we put on tefillin, as opposed to Chachmei Sfarad, who say that if you say Lohaniach tefillin, that covers both the Shalyan and the Shalosh. He believed that the bracha of Al Mitzvah tefillin is just a substitute for a bracha that used to be recited when you took off your tefillin every single day. Since the mitzvah is to have Shmira, how is it that we guarantee Shmira that you wear tefillin only in the Yomim Yomima during the day? So at night, as the sun is about to set, you take off your tefillin. Says the Gemara, they used to make a bracha when you took off your tefillin. Asher kedushan b'mitzvah v'tzivano lishmor chukah. Since we don't wear tefillin all day any longer, so it's not that we're taking off our tefillin after we finish davening just to protect the dignity of tefillin, but because we've got to go to work. So therefore, Chazal replaced that bracha at the end of the day with the second bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin, which is really designed to alert us that in addition to the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, there is an additional mitzvah of what? Of guarding Kedusha Tefillin. So it is a din d'oraisa. Let's take a look at two more lines in the Gemara. And the Rambam paskins like the Gemara in 1 second, and we'll try to explain what's happening here. Two more lines.
Tani Chada. Yashen Adam Betfilin Shenas Aroi Avalo Shenas Keva. One brisa says you're allowed to have a little temporary snooze, but not a permanent sleep. Tani Idach Bein Keva Bein Aroi. Another brisa says you can sleep as much as you want wearing tefillin. The Tanya Idach Lo Keva Velo Aroi. And a third brisa says you can't sleep with not a 5 minute snooze, not a 2 hour snooze. Which one is it? Answers to Gemara Loi Kasha. Ha de Nakit Lahu Biyadei. Ha de Manche Bereshe. Ha de Para Sudra Iluya. Three different cases. If the tefillin is Nakit Lahu Biyadei, tefillin are in your hand, so you're not wearing them. So then, what are you allowed to do? You can sleep as much as you want. If the tefillin are on you, that's the brisa which says you can't sleep at all. And the brisa which says that if it's parasudra alei, what does that brisa say? That's where you can sleep, what? Ashenas aroi, but not ashena yodua. Now, the question is, what exactly does it mean, the parasudra iluya? What exactly does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Correct. Rashi gives a different explanation. I explained it the way the Rambam did. Now we're going to read Rashi. Rashi says, "Dinakit lahu biyadei." If you have your tefillin in your hand, you can't sleep anything. Why? Lo keva v'layor shemaliyiplu miyado. Perhaps what? They'll drop them. Dimanche bereshe. If they're on your head, aroi mutar ukeva aser. Aroi is mutter and keva aser. Why? Because you'll pass death. If you're only sleeping for 10 minutes, you'll be able to control yourself. The parus sudra alayu. That means under those circumstances, that's when you can sleep everything. So what does Rashi say? Hey nicham etzel mirashosav. What does that mean? Took them off, put them near your pillow. You took them off and put them near your pillow. Bein keva bein aroi. Delo nitna toru la malachei hashareis. What does that mean? How does Rashi learn this? Well, what do you mean? What does that mean? You what? Also, what other possible? You know.
You want to take a nap? You take a nap. You
can still
be wearing clothes all day. You want to take a nap?
Exactly. Take a nap. Exactly. Yeah. What's gonna do? Angel go without sleep. I can't go to sleep. I gotta sleep. What can I do? So you take them off, and that's it.
You just take them off, right?
Yes. That's correct. Who told you to take them off? It's the middle of the day. Who told you to take them off? That's the way Rashi is. But it's lacking some deal of chiddush. Therefore, the Rambam learns a little different. The Rambam says the manche paras amay sudra. It's not that they took them off, because the Gemara could have expressed take them off is shehi sirul. You took them off. Rambam says you took your filling bag and you put them on the shelraish. You covered it up. You covered it up. What does that accomplish that you covered it up? Pshat is like this. One of the aspects of tefillin is not only the kiyum ha-mitzvah, but that he should be mi'utar b'tefillin. A person should be a person who is adorned wearing tefillin. You all remember the Gemara in Masechus Brachos on the Vav Amud Aleph, Vav Ches, one of the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisavah, V'ra'u kol amei ha'aret kishem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. All of the nations of the world will see that the name of God is on your face, and they will be afraid of you all, be in awe of you. Amar Rav Elezer HaGadol, Elus Tfilin Shebarash. Part of tefillin is not just to wear them, but part of the mitzvah is to expose your wearing to others. So the Rambam says that if you cover your tefillin, what are you doing? Temporarily you're suspending what? The full
dynamic of the mitzvah, the full dynamic of the mitzvah, because you're not allowing others to see. Therefore, under those circumstances, since you're not fully engaged in the mitzvah, what will I do? I'll let you take a temporary nap. That's when the Rambam says you're allowed to take a shema saloi. Because the mitzvah is not full, complete at this particular time. That's what's accomplished paris sudwalah. Like paris makwa alah doesn't mean that you cleaned off the table. It means you put a towel or something on the food. Here it is. Paris sudwalah. That's the Rambam says. That's the way Rashi is. You're taking off.
Yeah.
That's, there is such a sheet.
Precisely,
excellent support. There is such a sheet that if you can't, you have to go to the bathroom, particularly if you're in an area where you're afraid something's going to happen to your fill-in, and you have to go to the bathroom, so you cover them up. What do you accomplish by covering them up? Precisely. To some degree, you are negating the mitzvah of the fill-in. Since you're temporarily suspending the mitzvah of the tefillin, we will allow what? A temporary act of shena sarah. That's how the Rambam.
Those sorts of those who cover their davening, not supposed to cover their rosh during davening?
That's correct. In fact, the Rav's father was always makbid that even when he put his talis over his head, he never allowed it to cover the shalosh. Because the shalosh should always, because the shalyad, it says, v'hayam l'cha l'osal yadcha. By Sharosh, it's Totofas Ben Inacha, everybody should see it, 100%. Yeah. So basically, so Machloek is Tosis in the Rambam, whether this particular din in the Gemara is a din de Rabbanan or a din de Raisa, but you're 100% right. The point, if they accept the Rambam, there's the Shakzaki Kash, and there's no problem. No problem. Very simple. Exactly. But it's, so this question is basically based on Tosis. Okay, stop there, continue next to us.